Welcome to Foul Players Radio, your podcast for arts, entertainment, and pop culture. My name is Michael Spedden, your host. Every episode features interesting people with fun, fascinating stories about their journeys in the performing arts. Authors, actors, musicians, dancers, athletes, comics, you name it. Sit back, relax, and have a listen. Let's have some fun. Foul Players Radio is a proud production of the Foul Players Group and a proud member of the SJ Network. And welcome again to the quarantine edition of Foul Players Radio. My name is Michael Spedden, and this week's guest is Jeff Dwoskin. Jeff is from the great state of Michigan. He's a stand-up comic who hosts his own podcast, The Jeff Dwoskin Show, has his own website, jeffisfunny.com. We talked about performing, how to handle rough crowds, do's and don'ts, and so much more. You can subscribe to Foul Players Radio for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Castro, CastBox, and on iHeartRadio. So stick around for Jeff Dwoskin right after these words. Hello, listeners. I've got some great news from one of our former guests. Barbara Bustard has just released a book called The Art of Healing, 12 step-by-step meditative art exercises for improved physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Miss Bustard bares her soul and shows us who she is through her stories and exercises. This is a book to be felt and experienced, an artist's work. Art is a way to work through all that life gives us, whether it is happy, sad, or anything in between. Art is a creative, safe, healing, and everything special place. It is the place to work through the stress that underlies all disease. In her book, The Art of Healing, 12 step-by-step meditative art exercises for improved physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, Miss Bustard describes the process to make healing happen. The meditative exercises in this book are described in a very simple, clearly articulated manner. They are appropriate for any level of artistic experience. Just reading this book, Miss Bustard's exercises touch you at a feeling level. You are moved from your thinking analytical brain to creative expression. It is available now on Amazon for $29, and it's gotten many positive reviews from readers so far, so pick up your copy today. Her website is artforbodymindandsoul.com. Also remember, the holidays are just around the corner. We all love to support our local small businesses and artists. Make sure you get your copy today. It makes a great gift. Foul Players Radio is now a proud affiliate of the SJ Network. If you're a performer, an actor, musician, filmmaker, author, you name it, in need of a good publicist, call Steve Joyner, 816-605-4561, or you can email him at stevesjnetwork@gmail.com. He has many years of experience in the entertainment business. He's competent, confident, and takes great care of his clients. He would be the publicist for you. Call Steve at 816-605-4561 or stevesjnetwork@gmail.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Christopher Stolle of Breaking the Fourth Wall. If you enjoy our show, you can find it on YouTube. Just look up Realm of the Mist Entertainment, or just look up Realm of the Mist Entertainment on Anchor.fm, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, or wherever quality podcasts can be heard. And also, you can find us on all the social medias. Just look for Realm of the Mist Entertainment, and I will catch you on the other side.
I'm Michael, the host of the semi-monthly podcast, In a City Like Yours. Join me as I chat with interesting people with interesting life stories. You can listen to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can follow us on Twitter at IACLYS Podcast, as well as on Facebook and Instagram at In a City Like Yours Podcast. Please feel free to let me know what you think, and keep coming back for the many interesting stories in a city like yours.
Hey, this is Don Smith from the Life Radio Show. If you've always wanted to learn more about the world of low-budget filmmaking and even lower-budget comedy, tune into the Life Radio Show. You can live stream the show at WWSU1069.org on Tuesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, or find us wherever you find podcasts and like and follow the Life Radio Show on Facebook for live video and other shenanigans.
Hey, what's up? This is Christopher Stolle of Realm of the Mist Entertainment. The podcast you are listening to is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com. That's s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and information on those shows, as well as information and ability to contact publicist Steve Joyner for more information. Just go to the website and check out the family. Ladies and gentlemen, until then, enjoy the show.
So Jeff Dwoskin, welcome to Foul Players Radio. So how are you?
Oh my God, I'm great. It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm glad to have you. You know, I was looking through your website and looking through some of your clips. You've really got some funny stuff, you know. So when did this idea to get up and try to make people laugh become a thing for you?
Oh, wow. It was probably just over 18 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I'd always been funny at work. It was one of those things where, like, I could get up at, you know, the all hang out, we all hands, we the all company meetings, and when I would present, and I would just be funny, and and I could get away with certain things. I just, you know, there was, because I was funny, you know.
Right,
what I mean?
Right.
And then around that time, I had actually started a web company, one of the first web companies in the country, actually. And so one of the first websites that we did was a place called Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, their website. So on the website, I happened to have noticed that they had comedy classes. You know, they could teach you how to write for the stage. And so it was kind of just buried in the back of my mind. And then one day, where I was at lunch with a bunch of people from work, and they're like, oh, you should do stand-up. And I'm like, what? And then I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. And so I remember that that existed. And so I went and I took that class, and my teacher was Gilda Hauser. And it doesn't teach you how to be funny per se. It teaches you how to write jokes, how to write comedy. You know, you eventually develop your own style, but there is a basic rhythm to it. And so I took that class and I got on stage at the end. You did 7 minutes. You know, you worked on 7 minutes for a few months, and then never stopped doing it for 18 years.
Oh, great. Great. Well, that's wonderful. 18 years, you know. You know, I've been a musician, you know, for, God, probably close to 35 years. I've been acting for a good while now. And, you know, one of the things that I do is a comedic act. It's a comedic music act. I can't really call it stand-up comedy because I'm just not up there talking and telling, you know, jokes and, you know, doing routines or anything. But, you know, it. But nonetheless, you know, when the goal is to try to, you know, do something and get laughs, it's, you know, it's such a wild thing because there's no way that every night turns out the same, you know?
Right. Yeah. Every time is different. And it's the expectations, and I think the pressure on trying to be funny is much harder than if you're just going up there and someone's presenting a boring PowerPoint. So the bar is that you're going to be boring. So right, there's like, if you made them chuckle for half a second, you just gave them a gift. But like, there's no expectation that it's going to be anything more than meh. So, you know, but when you go see a comedian, there's an expectation, and they want to laugh, and, you know, and they want to enjoy music in your case also. And so there's different expectations. There's a different bar there.
Right. That another thing that I've noticed too is that, and I see this quite a bit, you know, because another thing that I do is I have a murder mystery company where we do murder mystery shows on trains and boats and, you know, wherever people have us, you know, company parties and that kind of thing. And when we do the shows on the trains, and just to go tell you about, just goes to show you when you're talking about different crowds, you know, we may do a gag, you know, in, because what we're doing is the show three times. You know, we're doing it in one car, then the next car, then the next car, and then we switch characters and do it, you know, that car, that car, that car, usually three times. And, I mean, there have been jokes that have been, you know, the biggest national sensation in one car. The next car, it just turns out to be the turd in the punch bowl, you know, and it just goes to show you, you know, how different crowds are, you know, just depending on, you know, I guess who the people are and everything, you know.
I totally hear what you're saying. I also would kind of challenge you that there's a thing that there's a different energy that you bring to something the first time you do it. Mm-hmm. And when you do, like, I'll do a second show. I've mm-hmm. never done three shows in one night, but you know, that is a thing. But mm-hmm. when you do a second show, you kind of have to completely reset and make sure you're bringing that same energy mm-hmm. and not just expecting them to laugh because they laughed the first time, because they that laughed the first time aren't there. So I think sometimes there's, and I'm guilty of this too, I'm just, you know, there's an expectation that it's funny, but they don't know it's funny. You still have to make sure that you're bringing it exactly the same right. as it was before.
Interesting.
So it's hard to do. And I remember, like, a friend of mine, Sal, was saying, like, he used to do three shows in Vegas. And then when you do three shows, you have to be very methodical in terms of doing the same thing mm-hmm. in the same order. Otherwise, your mind starts playing tricks with you. Did you do this? Did you already do that? You don't mm-hmm. remember anything. But you have to kind of bring it every time. Imagine in your show, it's the same kind of pattern, the same setup, mm-hmm. even if you guys are playing different characters. But to me, that's something that the entertainer has to make sure that they're doing. They're not resting on the laurels of a past show that these people weren't at.
You're right. Very good point. And so I guess your type of humor, what kinds of things would you say? Are you, like, more topical? Are you more current events? Are you just observational? What would you say that your kind of forte is? I've seen it, but, you know, I just think that...
Well, my stand-up act is, I would consider more evergreen. So I don't do a lot of topical stuff in my act. And that's more from just being sort of like a little bit of a lazy streak, mm-hmm. meaning, like, I mean, it's not lazy to be writing stuff on the cuff. That's not what I mean. What I mean by that is, if you write some great stuff that only has a short shelf life, mm-hmm. you can't use it in a month, right?
Right.
So,
right,
the,
right.
like the fly on Pence's head thing, mm-hmm. it's only going to be funny for so long. And then it just becomes, all right, enough, right?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So if you write a great joke and you can do it, great, mm-hmm. but you know it only has a weak shelf life. Mm-hmm. I always focus on kind of bits and routines that I could do and build on and constantly be doing. So I was always kind of building my mm-hmm. act.
Right.
There's definitely some of my favorite jokes in my act that I ended up not being able to do. It was funny. Like, I had this great Deal or No Deal joke. Mm-hmm. That's the game show with Howard Mandel, right? So I had this great joke. Loved mm-hmm. it. It's my favorite joke, and it was a lead into another joke. And, you know, the next thing you know, it's off the air, and, you know, time goes by. Next thing you know, it's been 5 years since it's been on the air. And I'm like, ugh. But I was still doing it. But mm-hmm. every time I did it, I felt a little dirty, because it was like, I'm really asking these people to dig back. But then one of the stations recently brought it back, like a year or two ago. They brought back Deal or No Deal, so I could bring it back have a recent reference for it. So, you know, it's like, but otherwise it was, you know, when you make fun of certain things that, you know, time isn't your friend.
You're right.
I had stuff for my family where I had to, like, at some point change the age of the kids, you know, because so much time had passed. And then you want to do other material. But I can't do this other material if they're still eight. Mm-hmm. You know, So the 8-year-olds become my fictional niece and nephew, mm-hmm. and then my kids become older and become a different story. You know, so it's, you're kind of recasting some of the jokes and the stories.
Sure.
Did is audio recorded every one of my shows.
Uh-huh.
So I'd suggest there's a lot of banter and just natural comedy in your shows, mm-hmm. I would say do the same thing.
Right.
Because what happens is you have those moments, mm-hmm. and your memory of those moments isn't how that actually happened.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it, right. Because when you're in the moment, you're almost like outside of yourself, and mm-hmm. things are happening, and you're just moving, and you're doing things and saying things. I could get off stage, and you could say, "Jeff, tell me the jokes you did," and I probably couldn't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
So, if you record something and something interesting happens, mm-hmm. and you go and you listen to it, and you kind of write it down, that will happen again, right? Mm-hmm. Or something similar to that will happen again. And if you write it down and listen to it and catch the nuances that made it funny.
Right.
Then
right.
It's repeatable later. Mm-hmm. Your absolute memory of it won't hold it. But if you record it, then you'll be able to go back and do that. I had a joke I was writing. I couldn't get it. And then just one show, I just kind of free floated. It just kind of came out. It wasn't how I wrote it. It just naturally came out and it was perfect. Mm-hmm. And like I recorded it, thankfully. And then I was able to play it back and imitate myself in that state. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And so I was able, then that became part of my act because it was finally had it. A lot of times with comedy, you can have a good joke, mm-hmm. but maybe you're a word off, or you know your beats are wrong, your pause is wrong. There's some nuances, mm-hmm. and if you record it, you can kind of catch it. So that when it works or doesn't work, that
sure.
can be the difference.
Sure, absolutely. So you're out in the Midwest. I believe you said you were in Michigan, and what circuits or what you know what clubs are you doing out there? Or are you going all over? Or?
Right now, no clubs.
But well, no, yeah. The, yeah.
In well, normal we used, circumstances. We used to have a ton. Right now, the main ones left are like Ann Arbor Showcase and like Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. We used to have like, when I started doing comedy, I mean, there was like 8 or so venues just within 20 miles.
Uh-huh.
So it was like amazing. You know, you could do 4 or 5 times in a week, which I know in New York that's normal, but like in Michigan or other places it's not that normal. But mm-hmm. You know, so we would just play on this day we go to Dearborn, on this day Livonia, on this day we do this. And but now most of those are all gone. They're all gone mm-hmm. and have been gone for maybe even a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'd go to Windsor a lot mm-hmm. and Ohio. I didn't tour a lot mm-hmm. just because it started late and I had a family and sure, a day sure. job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes it difficult to go on the road. I can remember trying to balance all that, you know, in the bands I was in the '80s and early '90s, you know, I had a job that was flexible and I was able to do it a little bit. You know, I could just strategically place my vacation time and work around it. But that's definitely a challenge if you're trying to entertain because, you know, I mean, some of the best advice I ever got in my life when it came to show business was don't quit your day job. And I haven't. And, but I do, I do have the blessing, you know, with, you know, I have flexibility and I have the ability to go on auditions and, you know, do shoots and everything whenever they come up. Just as long as the work gets finished, you know, I don't get any flack or anything. And I have plenty of vacation time to use, but it's definitely a challenge, you know, I mean, and especially with a young family, I can imagine too, I mean, because your first responsibility's got to be their well-being, you know. You can't just say, oh, screw it, I'll get fired and find another job eventually, you know. you know, you really have to, you know, kind of prioritize. That's a challenge we all kind of have, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I sort of transitioned into doing a podcast, mm-hmm. the Jeff Dwoskin Show.
Right.
And because I started getting calls, you know, hey, we're rebooking. And, you know, only through March, though. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to go back into a club. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And, you know, the indoor space and all that kind of stuff with the COVID. Like, those are the things that kind of mm-hmm. spook me the most. But
Right.
But, I mean, I'm not knocking anyone who does, and I'm sure they're fine with the COVID protocols and all that kind of stuff. It's just mm-hmm. it's just not something that I'm ready to do. So I don't know how much full-time or anything like that I'll be doing going back in the clubs. I'm enjoying the podcasting. It yeah. sort of gets yeah. me where I want to be in terms of creative outlet, doing a show, doing my own thing, not having to worry about anything, not traveling, mm-hmm. not, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat with you too. I mean, because this year, you know, I haven't done any musical shows. You know, well, March was the cutoff. I did do a couple of murder mystery shows, but I've really kicked the podcasting in full gear this year. I think I've had my podcast now, Foul Players Radio, since May of 18. So that's just about 2.5 years now, and I think I've done more in the last 6 months than I've done in the whole, you know, from May of 18 up until March of this year, just because I've had, you know, so many people that are available to talk and, you know, people aren't going out and it's just a way to, you know, provide some, you know, alternate entertainment for, you know, that's, you know, safe and you don't, put yourself at risk by enjoying it, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I found the same thing. People have the time to talk and mm-hmm. they want to talk. So it's a good time to start.
Yep. And it's also
a good time to start podcasting.
Yeah. It's also a good time too. I mean, because I have spent some time writing some new shows for the Murder Mystery Group, and I haven't done much writing on guitar or anything like that, but I have had the opportunity to, tweak some shows and, finally get some ideas I had, that I keep going back to in my mind down on paper. So I guess that's kind of been a blessing because, I think with everybody being cooped up, and I'm sure you probably agree, everybody being cooped up like this and just not being able to go out and perform, I think, A, performers are going to be going out there with a vengeance when it's time to open back up, and B, people are going to be there, wanting to see something good. So I think a real, once all this mess is over with, and I'm hoping it's sooner than later, but you never know, I really think things are going to come roaring back, and, I'm looking forward to that time. I guess you probably are too, huh?
Yeah. I hope everything kind of gets back to normal. I think that'd be good for everybody. Mm-hmm. Whether I do comedy or not, I know a lot of people, that's what, their livelihood, they need it. So mm-hmm. I do hope everything kind of gets back together. Businesses stop going out of business, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it'll be good when that happens. Hopefully sooner than later. But
I know. But it looks like you've had some. I was looking through your podcast here. It looks like you've had some great guests on lately. And this is a. And it looks like you're on a lot of the same ones I'm on here, like Apple and Google and Spotify, Stitcher and Pandora and iHeartRadio and. There's lots of places where you can hear these shows and everything. And your guests, I see you've had Larry Hankin and Bruce Valanche and Jackie the Joke Man Martling. I bet that was a special kind of show there. I mean, he's great, isn't he?
Jackie's awesome. I worked with Jackie. Oh, man. Can't remember the year because I can't see the poster from where I'm sitting. But mm-hmm. It was about at least 6 years ago or so. And I worked with Erin Cummings at that too. Erin Cummings is an actress. She was on Detroit 187, Spartacus, a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
And so she put together, when she was in Detroit filming Detroit 187, she started this charity called Mittens for Detroit. Mm-hmm. And so she would have comedy fundraisers every year. And one year I was invited to be a part of it. So I became friends with her. And that year, Jackie the Joke Man Martling was the headliner, mm-hmm. and never a nicer guy. You won't meet. Aaron's the greatest, and Jackie is so nice. He gave me his business card, everything. Mm-hmm. He loves to give away free stuff, lots of free stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I started doing the podcast, I'm like, what the hell? I mean, he can only say no,
right.
So I emailed him or not say anything. So I emailed him. I'm like, hey, I am doing this podcast and love to have you on. We work together and it's a great time. And, you gave me a book. So I guess that makes us best friends forever. And that kind of thing. So he's like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. And then I actually, that was actually one of my bigger episodes in terms of downloads and stuff. And at the end of that episode, it sort of ends with him getting on the Howard Stern show. And mm-hmm. we kind of agreed, all right, we'll talk for about 30 minutes. It's a good amount of time. And so it was about that. And so we kind of wrapped it up. And then I actually taped. I have to edit it and put it back out. But then he came back. We did another interview. So I have an interview with the Howard Stern years. He had sent me his book, mm-hmm. Bow to Stern, which is a really good book. And so I read the book. And then I had him back. And then we talked about Howard Stern for 30, 40 minutes. So I'll have a follow-up to that interview. So
right.
I have return guests. When I first started, mm-hmm. I had people on, and I wasn't sure how I would get guests. I was just like, oh my God, how are you going to get guests? And so I would have people on, and I'd actually record multiple segments with them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We'd record, it'd be like us stopping right now, and then us kind of, you go, all right, Jeff, thanks. All right. And I'm like, that's it. And then we'll start off and go, hey, Jeff, it's been a while. Hey, good to see you. Good talking again. And we just do it again, and then I would air it a month later or so. So mm-hmm. I only did that a couple times because then all of a sudden I literally, if I didn't interview one person for the end of, starting right now, if I just stopped interviewing people, I could put out shows through January.
Oh yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
So yeah. It's crazy. So, you know, I put you know, the order of it's not first in, first out, unfortunately, but it's one of those things where, you know, things come in and you kind of create just kind of a pattern, you know, of make sure that the show is good and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, a lot of people have lots of great stories. I'm sure you find the same thing. It's just fun to talk to people. I love talking to a lot of my comedian friends. I found that, like, when I interview people, you know, where I'm just interviewing people, oh, this is, you know, she was an actress, and, you know, and then I'm just kind of talking, we're just learning about them. I found that, like, when I talk to my comedy friends and we have conversations and we both kind of talk, where it's more of a conversation, that's, those are the episodes where, like, people can learn more about me too. You
know what I mean? Right.
So, yeah, so that's, it's a good one. I just had a great one the other day. I just interviewed a friend of mine. He had won Star Search and we hadn't talked in forever. You know, you start having, like, you know, everyone starts working and you don't see each other anymore. When you're, like, when you're doing open mics and everyone's doing open mics and you're doing the same five open mics every week, you know, you form these bonds, and then you start headlining and doing this or touring, and and you hardly see each other anymore. So it's like, it's a whole different vibe, but it's good to catch up.
It sure is. You know, I mean, with me, you know, having been in music and theater, you know, and, you know, doing TV and, you know, and then, you know, now podcasting, you know, I've made all kinds of different connections. And, you know, when I started my podcast, it was really supposed to be more regional than it is national. You know, I guess you and I, we both met, you know, good old Steve Joyner not too long ago. And, since then, I've met him. I've been like Lucy in the Candy Factory, if you remember that episode. But I had a good time starting it off, because it was just supposed to be like people like in the Baltimore, D.C. area, you know, maybe maybe Northern Virginia, some PA, but people who are just more or less like, you know, celebrities in this area here. And then finally starting to get some more national people and some folks that are like, you know, real contributors to our national, you know, television and, you know, movie and, you know, show business heritage here has been really been a blessing lately. And I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, I still have, you know, folks from my region, you know, on quite a bit. I've got a good mix of that. And I really, you know, I'm really glad to have, you know, I've met guys like you, and I've met, you know, Steve, and I guess I'm sure you've met Don Smith out of Dayton, with Wiley's Comedy Club. And it's just been great. It's really been great this year. You know, and I tell you, I was looking through your list here. I love Jackie. I always loved Bobby Collins too. I'm not sure what age group you're in, but I, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and I started off playing in hair bands, cause that was the thing back then. But the other thing that was really big was comedy. You know, that was the time when, like, you know, the Jerry Seinfelds and the Larry Millers and Sam Kinison and Dice were starting to come to the forefront. And there were, it just seemed like there was like a million and one comedy specials on back in those days, you know, the Rodney Dangerfield special and the Young Comedians special. And, you know, HBO had a different stand-up highlight every month and everything. Did you kind of grow up watching that stuff too?
Yeah, for sure. In the 80s, I watched Bobby Collins on the Spotlight Show and all that kind of stuff. And it was funny. Bobby Collins, I worked, was like in 2002 was my first like big name that I worked with, where I got paid, I guess.
Right.
And then years later, like a few years ago, rather, I should say, I worked with him again in Detroit. And yeah, so him, I just reached out to again. I was just like, hey, Bobby, I'd love to have you on my podcast. He's like, Jack, for sure. You know, so they're all cool. You know, it's funny because it's like, I never expect them to remember me. I mean, I'm sure you had to kind of, you know what I mean? And because, you know, you work with these famous people, and to you, it's a moment.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, for them, it's like, you know, it was, to say it was with Bobby, it was 3 years ago. You know, he's worked every weekend since with two other people every one of those weekends. Right. So I'm like, 300 people ago or whatever the math is.
Right.
And so, you know, but it's nice. We, you know, once there is some things, a lot of, you know, you go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was, you know, I was talking to a comedian friend of mine, Bill Dwyer. He was like the host of BattleBots, and we worked together forever ago. And he had a full memory of everything we had done, we did together that weekend. Hmm. So, that, you know, it's nice to know that people remember things. You know?
Right, 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 so, right. Well, it's the same thing too, because when I was on Gotham, you know, I when I got there, I kind of made friends with, you know, on set with Andrew Sellin and Robin Lord Taylor and you know, Corey Michael Smith, because they were my scene partners and everything. And yeah, I got to know them a little bit on set, but I haven't really spoken to them since. And I don't know if they would remember me or not, because I'm sure Andrew would, because I've spoken to him since then. But you know, I mean, how many guest stars and how many extras and how many, you know, this, that, and the others have gone through that show. But when I did my J.G. Wentworth commercial last year, I stayed in touch with about half of the cast, and I've had them on as guests and everything, and they're all doing very well, too. And it's really rewarding. I mean, I guess it's kind of a special bond when you make friends with other artists, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. And, you know, especially if, you know, when you can kind of stay in touch and all that kind of stuff. It's just, it's nice to just have that connection. Because yeah. I think they need sane people in their lives too.
You know? Right, right,
you know,
right.
Just like people that they can just connect with that aren't trying to get something from them.
Yep. So. Well, I think too that, you know, we all kind of understand each other, because we all understand, you know, every human needs, you know, food, shelter, and water. But we need food, shelter, water, and performing. And we have to be doing something. We need an outlet, or else we're going to drive ourselves bonkers. And it's something that only other people understand, you know.
I'm thankful my wife totally understands that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, and the comedy has become the podcast, and doing these interviews and interviewing, mm-hmm. even though I only put out the podcast once a week on Mondays, mm-hmm. you know, I'm interviewing people all week. I'm editing, I'm doing interviews, you know, all these things that sort of became a thing. Mm-hmm. What I think is good for her and I like as well is that there's no driving involved.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to a club and, you know, the show's at 8, so I got to be there at 7, and mm-hmm. I got to leave at 6, and then I'm just sitting there, and, you know, like when you're a comedian, mm-hmm. you're only doing 20, 30 minutes twice, you know, but you're there for 5 hours or whatever.
Exactly, know? Exactly.
So, you know, so there's a lot of just doing nothing, and, you know, it's nice to have all that time back.
It sure is. Well, and that's the same thing, too, when you're doing band shows, because you got to get together and, you know, pack up the equipment, bring it there, load it out. And then sometimes if you're playing with multiple people and it happens to be your show, you've got to be there the whole time. You can't just play and leave, you know, because the equipment's there. Then you got to load it out at the end of the night. And you know, that ends up being a whole day. And sometimes, you know, when you're, you know, playing in a band, if you're doing like a showcase type of show, you know, you may only play for an hour, but you know, you're there the rest of the time too. And, I'm lucky though. You know, I mean, since I've gotten more into acting and things like that, you know, my wife is also an actress, and she, you know, does the whole thing, and she goes through the same things we go through with auditioning and performing and being there for rehearsal and all the things that kind of go with it, you know. But before that, I was with somebody who just did not get it and did not like it, and it ended up being a problem. So, you know, if you're not with somebody who is a fellow performer, you know, you really got to be with somebody who gets it, at least, or at least understands it. Cause if not, you know, you're in for a rough road.
Oh yeah. 100%. My wife's an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Puts up with all my bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife's great too. You know, I mean, she understands the rehearsal process and, you know, having to go perform and all those other things. And, and then doing this and having, you know, an outlet, you know. So, as a matter of fact, she's downstairs recording an audition as we speak, and I've got to do one later too. And, but, you know, it is, you know, we both, you know, kind of understand each other, and it's something that, like I said, you either get it or you don't. And so many people over the years too, I know that were just, really talented, ended up, getting out of it, even though they didn't really want to, just to maintain peace at home and everything. And, I just wonder what their, what their regrets are like, later on in life, just having, walked away from it, wondering, what could have been or something,
Yeah, I hear you. It's always the thing, like in comedy, they say you're always a comedian because no one will quit. Mm-hmm. Cause you don't want to miss out. I found that, it's just like with anything, it's who you know. So, your friends could be the most talented people in the world, and mm-hmm. someone with half the talent and knows the right people is going to be the one with the album. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing with comedy. It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. It's whoever they see. It's like an audition,
It sure
do you
is.
Fit the right bill? Do you look right? Do you do this? All that kind of stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
Do you do any other kind of performing? I know you do your podcast. I know you do your stand-up. Do you ever do any acting, any theater, or anything like that?
No, never done anything like that. I've always thought about it, but I don't think I'd be very good at it.
Yeah.
But, I always thought that, the acting is... I feel like when I go into, my podcast host mode, or when I was on stage, it's a version of myself. So I guess in a way I'm acting, or it's probably not acting, but I'm freer to do certain things than, if I'm just standing at Kroger or something. But I haven't done that. I tried once. I auditioned for something once. It was a disaster.
Oh, really? Those happen. Those happen to the best of us, sometimes you just end up in the, you end up, going to try out for the wrong thing, or sometimes you just get off on the wrong foot. It's just a strange thing with that, because I've had auditions that I thought were absolutely terrible and I booked it. And then there's other ones where I thought I had it in the bag. It was a complete slam dunk and I never heard a word from them. So, it's just kind of an unpredictable, strange thing sometimes. And there's a lot of it that's in your control, but there's so much more of it that's out of your control too. You could go in there and be, a great actor. You could really, be bringing the goods home and everything, but you got the wrong color hair, or you're too short, or, too young, too old, whatever, it's just kind of a, there's a lot to it that's just out of your control. So, as long as you do the best you can with what you have, that's really all you can do with it,
Yeah, totally.
So, great. Well, it looks like here, you've got a really nice website with all of your, you've got plenty of video clips of performances here. And I see that, you've got all your episodes of your podcast on here. Are there any things that you want to plug coming up?
Just the podcast. I'd love if everyone listened to the podcast. You can go to jeffisfunny.com. Mm-hmm. Everything's listed there, and then you can go to Apple or Spotify or Amazon Music, and subscribe. It would be great if you subscribe to mine or the Foul Players, either of ours. Mm-hmm. And then, that's it. This is the platform now, and I'd love to hear from you on Twitter at Jeff Dwoskin Show, or Instagram at Jeff Dwoskin Show. Love to hear from you, and That's all I got right now, Mike.
Well, wonderful. Well, like I said, you've got some great material. I was listening to it a little bit earlier. I'm not going to give it away because, my listeners have to go and find it for themselves to enjoy it. But I really did think it was funny. I liked it. I'd come see you live if I was closer to you, or if you ever came around here. Your website again is jeffisfunny.com. And like I said, you've got a lot of your, you've got your you've got your podcast episodes up, and I saw some of your, comedy clips and things like that. So, great, folks. We'll check them out. So, Jeff, I'd like to thank you for spending time with us here this evening. I've enjoyed speaking to you, and it's always nice to, get together with a fellow performer and, kind of, you know, trade stories and things like that. One last thing I kind of like to ask you here, and this is something that, you know, I've had to deal with a little bit in doing my musical act, you know, with the comedy, that I didn't handle well. I had a kind of a Mr. Saturday Night moment with somebody.
And love that movie.
Yep. And how do you deal with hecklers? Have you ever had to deal with that? Or I'm sure everybody that does stand up has it at one point or another.
Yeah, there's a couple things. One is you kind of, heckler is like the smell of blood. So it's one of it's about being confident with your act and kind of moving through it. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about hecklers is when you're on stage, you kind of have to assess how many people actually heard the heckle. Mm-hmm. Because if you may have heard it, you know, if you're in a room with 200 people and the guy's up front and he says something to you, yeah, maybe you're a mom. And then you have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. If 198 people in that room didn't hear it, then you ignore it and mm-hmm. you keep going. Because otherwise you start talking to them and you've lost the entire audience because they have no concept of what just happened.
Right.
The difference is if the waitress in the back, and then again, you have to decide if you want to embarrass the waitress because maybe you don't. So this is not necessarily a good example. But if the waitress in the back drops something, right, mm-hmm. and it breaks, or if someone drops their glass and it breaks and everyone clearly hears it, that is okay to address because everybody has the frame of reference of what just happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So with the microphone in your hand, you're going to have the power over whatever is happening. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's loud and obnoxious, you know, and it literally is disrupting the show, then you might need to shut them down. Mm-hmm. But if it's something that you can just kind of talk through and ignore, then I'll do that as well. Because the other issue is, and it depends how long you're up there also. If you engage with a heckler, you know, if you're an MC and you only got 15 minutes and someone's heckling you at 8 minutes, you know, once you start talking to them, it's not like, hey, Mike, you shush your mouth now. Okay, Jeff, I'll shush my mouth now. Mm-hmm. That's not how it happens. That's not how it works.
Right.
So, you know, so all of a sudden it could just start to spiral out of control. Mm. And it's always your responsibility, especially in comedy, to maintain the integrity of the show for the people coming after you. Mm-hmm. So if you send the show off the rails with a heckler to do whatever, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden you've killed the crowd for 6 minutes and then the next guy comes out, mm-hmm. Now if you're a headliner and you've got 45 minutes and somebody heckles, you know, it's your show. Nobody's coming after you. Mm-hmm. You can do what you want to do. So a lot of those comments I just made are more from an MC or feature mm-hmm. point of view. When you're a headliner, it's a whole different story. You got, you know, it's a much longer set. It's a much different presentation of the material in terms of connecting with the audience. So mm-hmm. you may have a few minutes to just knock somebody back into their seat. You know?
Right.
So there's a lot of answers, and the unfortunate thing, and it's like a baseball pitch. You got mm-hmm. 1 second to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah, I can imagine that. You know, that's one thing that that's one thing I had. I've told this story on the show a number of times too, where we were doing our thing and I was kind of bantering with somebody, you know, and we had like kind of a funny thing going back and forth. It wasn't like they were heckling me. You know, I was kind of just talking to somebody. They made a joke and we were kind of going back and forth and people were laughing. And then this obnoxious drunk woman just comes up and goes, "Shut up and play." And she's standing right in front of me. And I looked at her and I said, "You fat pig, sit your ass down and shut the up." And I lost the crowd after that. And that was the last time I ever did that. But I kind of realized that that doesn't work. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like if you overextend your power in the context that the other people hearing mm-hmm. what you're saying is that you're being the bully.
Right,
and you'll lose them. So that's why you have to kind of really, really, really assess, mm-hmm. you know, how much damage this heckle did to you.
Yeah, I know. So, Great. Well, again, it's really been a pleasure having you on and getting to know you a little bit here. So we have, remember, we have jeffisfunny.com. You know, all of your podcast episodes are there, and you've got some stand-up clips. Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been wonderful to speak with you, Jeff. Nice to meet you. And thank you all for listening. We've had Jeff Dwoskin here on Foul Players Radio, and we'll see you next time. Thanks again, buddy.
Thank you. It was so fun. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Howdy. It's Matt Gwynn here, popping in to let you know about the adventures of the albino rhino. It's a show. Frank the Giraffe here, my co-host James Godwin, and myself put on for you guys twice a week. Every Wednesday, we talk to a comedian, and every Friday, we call it Freak Yeah Friday. The show itself is not safe for work, and that freak is definitely a different word. I just don't know what podcast you're going to be listening to this promo on, and I don't want to, start screaming explicatives while you're sitting in your office, if you're lucky enough to have been able to go back to the work that you did before inside of an office or whatever, you know. But we go on an adventure twice a week, and it's a good time because we get to sit down and talk to some really cool people. And I enjoy it because, you know, I'm just curious little albino who likes to get to know folks, you know. You can find us a couple ways, actually multiple ways, really. Man, there's a lot of different ways to find us. You can find us through our central hub, which is www.albinorhino.me. It's the website. Find me on. And then, you know, the podcast, you can find the videos on YouTube. Search for Adventures of the Albino Rhino. Also linkable from our website. And you can also find us through Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Radio Public, and Spotify. That's right. We're on the same place Joe Rogan is. Granted, we're not the Joe Rogan Experience, but you know what I mean? We're there. So give us a listen. Promise you won't be dissatisfied. And enjoy your day.
What's going on, minions? Mike here for Misery Point Radio, and you're listening to the Coast to Coast Power Hour on the SJ Network. Now, I know what you're thinking. Mike, what the F is a Coast to Coast Power Hour? Well, my uneducated and uninformed friend, the Coast to Coast Power Hour is a Borg-like collective of epic podcasters from epic podcasts that have all come together to discuss the important things in life. Pop culture, current events, random awesomeness, stuff like that. Trust me, you need this in your life. For more information on this show and all the shows on the Coast to Coast Power Hour, as well as on the SJ Network, reach out to publicist Steve Joyner at www.s-j-network.com or stevesjnetwork@gmail.com. No need to thank me. I'm just out here, you know, changing lives.
What's Your Effin' Binge is a podcast brought to you by Chris, Anchor, and Spotify. And what we talk to our guests about is what they're currently binge-watching on TV. And what we do is we like to take a different approach. I don't want to know what the name of the show is that they're going to talk about before they come on. I have to actually guess it. So I ask them who, what, when, where, why, and try to figure out what it is that they're watching. A lot of times I'm able to guess it. And sometimes I'm not, and that's fine. That adds to the comedy of the show. We like to bring our guest on, whether they're a model or an actress or a producer or a musician, and just let them have a platform to be able to tell everybody what they have coming up next, and also entertain everybody with what's worth watching. So I hope everybody tunes in for the next episode of What's Your Effin' Binge. Thanks. It's Chris.
This podcast is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and for contact information on publicist Steve Joyner.